بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. أوصيكم عباد الله وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله العظيم. I need to first and foremost advise myself and dear brothers and sisters on this last Friday of the month of Ramadan to put an effort in our lives to avoid what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us and to implement and to put into practice what He has obligated us. Everything that He has said is for our own benefit. And through observing His laws, we're going to be able to, inshallah, develop that nafs, that soul, so that it reaches very high ranks, inshallah, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's almost as though it was yesterday that we had the first or the last Friday of the month of Sha'ban, and we were talking about the month of Ramadan approaching, and now this is the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. It came by very quickly. We hope that we were able to benefit from this month. We have still one or maybe two nights left of this month that we hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us and allows us to benefit from these couple of nights and from the days that we have remaining. And we ask Him that if He has not forgiven us due to our shortcomings, we have some of the du'as that talk about the shortcomings that we have had in the month of Ramadan, and that because of those shortcomings, we are worthy of blame. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for the shortcomings that we've had in this month. And we ask Him to help us have another month of Ramadan, give us life, allow us to live long enough to see the next month, and inshallah, with His grace, be able to benefit from it more. The month coming to an end requires a couple of things for us to keep in mind. It shouldn't be such that the month of Ramadan came and after it's finished, we're back to what we were before the month of Ramadan began. We've got to try to keep and preserve things. There's a lot of blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We may not even realize and acknowledge those blessings that He has provided for us. But He has definitely blessed us with certain things that if we are able to continue, then we're going to really see the benefits of them. So I'd like to give a couple of reminders that inshallah, when the month of Ramadan comes to an end, let's try to keep this habit. In the month of Ramadan, we control our eating and drinking. During the day, we don't eat or drink at all. Now, the regular days, except for the days that are recommended to fast, which we should try to hold those fasts as well, inshallah. It's very, very recommended and very effective in training our souls. But also on other days, trying to control, not allowing haram to come into our food on one hand. On the other hand, just cutting down on food a bit to be able to worship a bit more. That's a lesson to learn from this month. Another is, during this month, we were maybe a little more careful about abstaining from sin, avoiding certain things. Well, in the following months, in the following days, after the month of Ramadan, let's not put down our guard. Let's try to keep it up. Let's try to avoid sin, inshallah, better than before. Another thing that hopefully we were able to do, inshallah, was to recite the Holy Quran a little more often in the month of Ramadan. We hope that we're able to continue on a regular basis, every day. We have hadith from the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in. I repeat this, I think on one of the nights we did mention this. We have a hadith that's very scary. It says, if someone does not recite 50 verses of the Holy Quran a day, at least they're not one of us. They're not one of the Shia. There's a hadith, another one by Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi, and he has a conversation with Imam al-Baqir salamullah. In that conversation, the Imam asks Jabir and tells him, is it sufficient for a person to be Shia to just have the love of the Ahlul Bayt? And he answers it himself, he says, no. There are certain qualities that a Shia has got to have to be qualified to be referred to as a Shia. A number of things that the Imam mentions, one of them is that the Shias are supposed to be known for their recitation of the Holy Quran. They need to know the Quran a lot better, and that's not what we see around us. So we hope that we're able to continue that from this month. Setting some time aside for du'as, personal time, it's devastating to allow the daily routine to take us over and we enter this life of negligence and forgetfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can very easily come and creep its way into our lives. Before we know it, we don't have an actual daily basis of a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when we pray, our mind is busy with kids, business, work, family, friends. We can't concentrate. We have to spend some extra time, try to contemplate, try to reflect, use some of the du'as of Sahifa Sajjadi and other du'as. And the last point is in regards to the time before Fajr. Hopefully again, we used to get up in the month of Ramadan before Fajr time, at least to eat. And inshallah, we are able to continue this, not allow the regular life to come in again, and we're not able to get up before Fajr time and spend at least 15-20 minutes in the brief and simple prayers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there's a lot that have been hidden in these prayers. Asa an yab'athaka rabbuka maqaman mahmuda. The status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to as the praised status. A person can reach that. And even from a worldly perspective, one of the things that we've been told to do to increase our sustenance is Salatul Layl. We think extra work is going to do it. I mean, you can work harder, you can go and spend more time, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, then a small little accident here, speeding over there, somebody getting ill, things happen and we gained it, but it went out the other door. Spending time on this worship is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will make it easier for you to have more sustenance. In regards to the Eid itself, the night of the Eid has been mentioned to be a very special night. If you get time to do worship, ibadah, it's a very special night. Some of the scholars, based on the ahadith that we have related to it, they say that it's almost equivalent to the night of Qadr. That's how great this night is. And in regards to the morning of the Eid, Fitriya as a reminder, let's not forget to set aside the Fitriya. Even if we're not able and we don't know people here to give, we need to set it aside on that day. And although Salatul Eid is not wajib technically during the time of the occultation, it's a very recommended act that we try to do inshallah. And one last reminder on Eid, I hope Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi said, any day that we do not sin is an Eid. So let's not make our Eid a day of sin. Sometimes the celebrations that we have after a whole month of worship, then when we get together to celebrate the Eid, it becomes something that according to the definition of Amir al-Mu'mineen, it's not Eid. So let's try to keep those celebrations within the boundaries of Islam, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Inna shani'aka wal abtar.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أخيه وابن عمه أمير المؤمنين إمام المتقين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى ابنته سيدة نساء العالمين فاطمة الزهراء وعلى سبطيه سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين ثم نصلي ونسلم على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر ابن محمد وموسى ابن جعفر وعلي ابن موسى ومحمد ابن علي وعلي ابن محمد والحسن ابن علي والخلف القائم المهدي روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
أوصيكم عباد الله وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله العظيم. One of the recommendations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, He's repeated in the Holy Quran, تَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادَ التَّقْوَى. Try to gain what you need for your long journey. The journey of the life after death is a long journey and a very difficult one. You need food, you need water, you need light, you need transportation. All of that is obtained through our actions here. In the خَيْرَ الزَّادَ التَّقْوَى. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the one whose piety can only be exceeded by the Holy Prophet, at times he would say, and he would complain, and he would say how long the path is, how short our time is, and how little I've been able to gather. If Amir al-Mu'mineen is worried about the life after death, then we've got to be very worried. That taqwa is very important. We've got to try to implement that, inshallah. Today is the last day of the month of Ramadan, a day that we commemorate, come together, speak out against oppression, and we speak out against the most evident source and the tip of the iceberg of the evil web in the world, which is the Zionist web. And the peak of that, or the tip of that iceberg, is the Israeli regime. We speak out against this oppression. This is the day that the late Imam Khomeini, may Allah bless his soul, who tried to bring and revive the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, the teachings of the Holy Quran, in a way where they had been forgotten by many of the Shia, not necessarily the ulama, but he was very effective in bringing this to the lives of the believers worldwide. And he gave us life after the Muslim Ummah was almost dead for centuries. I want to say a few words in regards to this. Firstly, we have a verse of the Holy Quran for those who have this doubt in their mind, and for those of us who don't have. There's so many doubts that are raised that if Prophet Ibrahim asks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a sign of the dead being raised, then we can definitely sometimes use a bit of help in remembering and being reminded of certain things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran is very, very explicit when it comes to condemning oppression and expecting the believers to take practical steps against oppression. How far do those practical steps go? Surah An-Nisa, verse 75. Please read. I will have a brief amount of time to have an explanation on this. The verse says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما لكم لا تقاتلون في سبيل الله والمستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية. We went over this verse one of the previous, or one, on one of the nights, but from a different perspective. We were talking about how there's this dua that comes from within, without words being spoken. When you have an oppressed people, people that are being oppressed intellectually, people that are being deprived of every one of their human rights even, people that are being deprived of good food, good water, good housing, where they would like to be situated, with language they would like to speak, being part of their destiny in terms of what happens in their government and decision making and being part of that political process, people that are deprived of all of these rights. If a person, if a people are oppressed, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why don't you get involved to the extent that you need to fight and put your lives on the line to try to protect the ones that are being oppressed? مَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The believers are being told, why aren't you not, or why are you not fighting in the way of Allah and doing what? People have attacked us? No, people have not attacked us. There are tribes, there are people that the heads of those tribes are oppressing the masses. Intellectually even, if it is. On top of other ways and other means of oppression. Then the believers are expected to go put their lives on the line and to try to save those people. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us. Recite salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
It is a responsibility for anyone who refers themselves to themselves as the Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen to get involved with this. To get involved with any type of activity that's against oppression. And if there aren't activities already set up to speak out and to act against oppression, it will be our responsibility to do that. We have that responsibility. If Amirul Mu'mineen says that I have heard women, there was an attack on Al-Anbar by Muawiyah during that time, and the news was brought to Amirul Mu'mineen, and he speaks after that, and he says, I was told that these soldiers came in, and they went to the homes of the believers, and non-believers, Muslimat, and al-mu'ahadat, the people, the women that are ahlul dhimma, they're not even Muslim. Their homes were attacked, their jewels taken, and no one said anything. These women couldn't protect themselves, and others did not take on that responsibility. Amirul Mu'mineen says, if a believer hears this, and because of the sadness, and because of the feeling they have, they die, I don't think they're worthy of blame. In fact, I believe that they're worthy of rewards. No one can claim to be the Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen and bring excuses for not becoming part of such movements and organizing such movements. Another point that I'd like to make, just for those, before I make the final point, just sometimes, unfortunately, it is very unfortunate to know that some of the believers, some of the Muslimin, some of the Shia raise doubts about our participation in such events. And sometimes it is made in a way where it sounds appealing, it sounds convincing. It is unfortunate to know of that. When we read the verses of the Holy Quran, Inshallah, these brothers and sisters globally, there's plenty of them in different parts of the world online. It's not something that takes place right around Quds Day. It's before and after people raise these doubts about participation. The verse of the Holy Quran talks about the munafiqeen in that way. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. They speak in a way against haq, in a way that is convincing, that you listen to them. The Holy Prophet is told that he listens to them. That means they got to be pretty convincing. Some of the arguments that are put up against our participation on Yawmul Quds and making this a point. Let's set aside that some of these people who raise these concerns don't even abide by what they mention in their reasoning. One being, for example, why don't we do something about the Shia? Well, when we do things about the Shia, some of these people don't participate either. It's not about that. I'll get back to that point, inshallah, further on. One of the things is, why do we want to stand up for people who are not even Shia, number one. Secondly, they're known to be as Salafis, and they dislike Shia. Okay? They dislike Shia. This is sometimes, for some people, it is a convincing... But there's so much to say, I'll suffice with a couple of points. First of all, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, a non-Muslim is someone that if they are disrespected and oppressed, you need to go and do something about it. And if you don't, and you don't feel bad about it, then there's something wrong. You need to feel bad. And if a person feels so bad that they die, they're worthy of praise and rewards, then a person who is Muslim definitely has that. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about putting our lives down on the line for people that are not even Muslim, these mustaz'afin, go read it, these mustaz'afin are non-believers. Some of them would even take weapons against the Holy Prophet. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to them as mustaz'afin, and you want to help them out. Put your lives down on the line to try to help these people. Okay. That's number one. Secondly, I'm not sure how wise it is. I hope this film of this talk is edited. I don't want this to be recorded, so you don't put that. This is not something that I'd like to share publicly, internationally, or any of that. I don't like this to be online.